Chapter 36, Denmark. Two of the instructors from the Estonian training camp, Martin and Prit, were in the airport as well on their way to Iceland via Denmark. So was my backpack. It had arrived the day before and smelled a little bit from the wet training clothes that had been in it for almost a week since I left Brazil. Strangers were speaking Danish on the plane. It was the first time I had heard that in 5 months, and it was a really weird feeling. I was so close to home that I could almost smell it. I was tired. My own bed was suddenly within reach, less than an hour away. Home hadn't felt like home for so long, but now I ached to be there. I fell asleep on the airplane while I was trying to change music on my iPad. The bump of the plane landing woke me up. I was back in Denmark, and having just woken up, felt fairly confused. Was the whole thing just a dream, or was I still somewhere in South America, dreaming that the trip had ended? I shook my head a little bit and looked out the window. It was true enough. The ground was flat as far as the eye could see. Right next to the runway were small fields and houses. The trees looked familiar too. Copenhagen, the sign on top of the airport building said. I was home. Walking out of the plane, I was freaked out by hearing my own language in the speakers. It felt so foreign, like a lost language I hadn't spoken since I was a child. Martin and Prit welcomed me home, and I raised my arm in a victory pose, laughing. I updated the little statistics note I had kept on my cheap phone from Colombia that still had the coins from around the globe super glued onto it. 89,582 kilometers, 140 days, 35 flights, 56 gyms, 90 classes, 43 cities, 24 countries. It was in the middle of July and the airport was packed with people who were coming home from summer vacation. For the last time, I picked up my dirty backpack from the luggage belt. Getting it ready to put on my back had become second nature. Open clip, pull strap, open nuts, release small clips, tie up, adjust straps, lift and carry on right shoulder, left arm through, tighten straps around waist. Ready to go. My father and little brother were waiting for me at the arrivals hall. They worked together in their small two-man electrician company and always had time to come visit me in the gym during a lunch break. They had extended it a little bit that day to give me a lift home from the airport. I gave them both a big hug. I was happy to have them in my life, and it continued to fascinate me how similar our personalities were. The same level of passion I had for martial arts, my brother had for football. Just as I never stopped training, neither did he. Like myself, he had an extreme ability to never lose interest in a subject, and is to this day the only person I know who has played Championship Manager continuously since 1993, when we had saved up to buy the very first game that came out. A good 20 years for one game. Most people were on holidays, and just a few cars went by on the street outside my apartment. It was strange to sit in my couch again. Very quiet. The silence was making too much noise inside of my head. Thoughts raced around. What now? My girlfriend got home from work, and I was really happy to see her again. Strangely, it felt like we had only been away from each other for a few weeks. We went for a walk to the beach nearby. A handful of young boys were playing football in the school playground. I looked at them as we walked by and realized that one of them was a student from my kids' team in the gym. Before I had time to say anything, he saw me as well and sprinted towards me, giving me a big jumping hug. "Gragard, you're back," he shouted. All the kids on that team were like little brothers to me, and I was really happy to feel that I'd been missed. I couldn't wait to get back on the mat and train with them all again. I was sitting on the couch at home and tried to watch TV. It was the first time in 5 months that I had done it. For so long, I always had something to do, someone to talk to, and somewhere to go. There was never any need to sit and look into a screen feeding me with bullshit entertainment. It was nothing but a way to kill time while waiting to die. It didn't do anything good for my life. The newscast seemed strange to me. I'd missed out on earthquakes, tsunamis, tornadoes, financial crisis, wars, and political dramas. I had been in another world where all those things didn't exist. Whether the place I had been was the real or the fake world was hard to tell, though. I think it was the real one. I turned the TV off. Whatever was on seemed so irrelevant. I had been afraid to do it, but I knew I would have to check my bank account to investigate the damage. There was still a little bit left, just enough to get me through the rest of the month. I had kept a very strict report on all my expenses during the trip, right until my phone got stolen in Colombia. Of course, I hadn't taken any backup of it. After that, I just checked my account balance now and then to get a rough estimate of how much money I could afford to spend. It's difficult to say how much the entire trip cost me, but a rough estimate is around 90,000 kroners, which is equivalent to about $15,000 in 2011 currency. It sounds like a lot, but with the money I'd saved up, added to the little monthly salary I got from home while on the road, I pretty much broke even on the trip. The plan had succeeded. Already the next day, I was going to work in the gym. My business partner Carsten had done everything himself for 5 months, so he needed a hand badly. I spent the whole day cleaning up, fixing computers, answering emails, and doing administration work. Having a full-time gym is more than just training. No more sitting on surfboards and driving around faraway towns. I was back in the real world of work. Late in the afternoon, people started to show up for training, and there were lots of hugs and handshakes. "What's up with the Beach Boy?" one of my longest-running training partners, Kari, said as he entered the door and saw the most tanned version ever of me sitting on the couch. I hung around for hours and just talked to people. Training was still on, just like it was when I had left. Nothing seemed to have changed, apart from the amount of people there. We had hit the 600 member mark that month, and there were so many faces on the mats that I had never seen before. Kari was teaching an Oki class, and with nothing else to do, I decided to jump in. Even though I was too tired to do anything, it had become second nature for me to just jump on the mat and roll if there was an opportunity for it. My cardio was epically bad, but I somehow managed to spar for a good 45 minutes. It was great to train with everyone again. Coming back to them, I had a clear measurement of how much my game had evolved on the trip. It was obvious to me that I had learned a lot and improved immensely. I couldn't wait to pass everything on to people and tell them about all the stuff I had learned on the trip. Driving home on my bicycle, it was a beautiful summer evening. Birds were singing and there were green leaves under the trees. When I left, the place was covered in snow and the trees were bare and cold. Everything had been gray and depressing. It was a different world now, and it was a different me that came back to it. I took the long road home, going through the city center. It was a joy to ride my bicycle again. It rolled smoothly through the little streets in the old part of town, taking me through all the places I knew so well. Every little corner, every smell, every sound was familiar. I drove through the street where my friend had jumped out of the window and stopped for a while at the spot where his life had ended so suddenly. The sun was shining and the air was warm and heavy. A few young people walked by. They looked happy. "I did it, Frank," I said with a subtle smile on my lips.